Today on the Travel Guys.
Well, that must be us.
That's us.
He's talking about us.
Go for it.
In the travel news, the price of the Great American Road Trip is going up, and we tell you the airlines most likely to involuntarily bump you off your flight.
There's a brand new way to get to Sacramento, San Francisco, San Jose airports in luxury at 320. Joe Gillis from One Way Tesla joins us to give you all the details.
At 3:35, I share my recent experience in Washington, D.C. as a citizen lobbyist and tell you how and why you can do the same.
I'm glad you finally got your citizenship.
Good Lord.
At 3:45, we take you to the Portland Rose Festival in Oregon. It starts early this year in late May, and it's time to make plans to see the parades and all the beautiful roses.
Thank you for taking a little time out of your Sunday afternoon here to make you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to rush you zone.
Yes, sir. The show is on. It's the Travel Guys radio show here to confuse and amaze you.
You've confused me already.
And make you a smarter traveler.
New music there.
A little bit.
You redid the middle part of that there.
I did. You know, I mean, how can you beat Willie as a startup?
Yeah, that's true.
And how can you beat, you know, the entertainment part? Because we are the travel and entertainment guys.
Right, right.
And I thought it was time to mix it up a little bit.
Occasionally swerving off the road into the land of entertainment, or just swerving off the road in general.
There you go. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, as always, follow along with us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, welcome back. I tried to reach you earlier this week. Luis, you'll love this. I mean, I hadn't heard from Mark in like 3 or 4 days, but that's not unusual when you work with somebody who is a travel guy. So I give him a text, you know, and say, well, you know, I could be lining up so-and-so for an interview about such-and-such. Nothing. For a day and a half, 2 days. And then so finally, you do the one that people who text friends or family, they, you know this one when you don't hear anything for a while. Are you okay?
Nothing,
for at least another day. So finally, I broke down and went to the old email thing. So we're, you know, whatever
I was out on a scouting trip.
I should say.
I was checking out some new destinations, and as luck would have it, I was out scouting new mystery tour destinations. I found this really great area to go to and have created this 6-day itinerary, and it's called An American Portrait. Has a lot of historical American figures in it, and of course I can't tell you where it is, and I'm trying to be careful here not to slip it up because we've started selling this to Sports Leisure Travelers, and so that's what I was doing. So I was not conversing with you intentionally because I was incognito.
I got it. Okay.
Not really, but I was just kind of ignore. I mean, I was just ignoring you and a lot of other people because there were too many people bothering me at the same time.
Well, that's all right.
So sorry if I made you think that maybe I'd fallen off the planet there. But
well, you know, I should know that maybe this will be the sign if I don't get any response that you're out hunting down a mystery tour. And if you're joining us for the first time here on the Travel Guys, Mark's with Sports Leisure Vacations, our underwriter, and they actually have travelers who are willing to sign up and go to places that they don't know where they're going literally until they get there. Maybe they can make a guess when they find out where the plane is headed, but even then you don't really know what you're going to do.
No, you really don't. And there are lots of people who buy travel like that on a regular basis, which is a tremendous compliment to our company.
Do you know anybody else that does anything like
this?
Well,
I do. Most tour operators have something like this, but most don't do it on the level that we do. For example, what I was out checking out this week was a 6-day itinerary, and oh gosh, I almost slipped there and said where it was. But
maybe we should stop talking about
it. Well, but it's the idea is that what I tell people is when I find someplace really neat that I think people will really enjoy going to, but I know they would never buy it if I told them where they were going. So,
oh, that's encouraging.
Well, if because it's like, you know, trust me, these are really cool places. But yep. If we put it out there, you might go, I found this. We met this lady a few days ago who runs this ice cream store in a small town in this place where we were. And she is practically, she's the mom of the town. Mm-hmm. And when she sat there, we got her to start telling stories to us. I think I'm going to have her on the radio after the tour goes there in October. But
Watch it now.
She's just a really, really neat lady. I love going out on the road and finding really cool places to take my travelers to, especially this mystery tour idea where you're going out and finding places and people are trusting you and giving you their money and saying, well, entertain me. But what I enjoy most probably about being a tour operator after 37 plus years is the ability to go and find new places and say, this is going to, people would have never come here on their own, but this is going to be really cool. I'll tell you off the air another place that I visited on this scouting trip that you and I have talked about going to that was just as cool as I had always pictured it would be. Anyway, this is all kind of cryptic and probably boring to people on the radio.
No, but it was it's what a fascinating job you have. Well, I know that at the time that Mark completely falls off the planet, nobody can find him, will be when he went hunting for a mystery tour. And since nobody knew where that was and... You know, it,
they didn't know where he went,
yeah,
so they couldn't find him.
There you go.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the way it works.
Well,
know?
Let's get going here. We got lots to do, and at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio show, ladies and gentlemen, bring you up to date on the travel news. And with the travel news, Mark Hoffman.
Wow, same old music.
Oh, yeah,
just teasing.
Sorry about that.
I'm just teasing. Huey Lewis.
Coming to town.
And the news. Too. Yes. Huey Lewis, the guy who's, he's a huge Giants fan, you know. It's not, this is not, this hasn't been a good week, first week for our baseball team, although they're doing better today. But one win all week. Holy cow.
Don't curse it.
Don't curse it. Yes. I've just about gone to the special beads and the little chanting before the game starts.
Pretty much.
All right, we mentioned in the headlines that the cost of the Great American Road Trip is rising. Why do you suppose that would be, Mr. Romano? This summer, specifically.
Bed bugs? I don't know.
No, that's not it. Gas prices. You know, they've been pretty friendly the last couple of years, but gas prices have been on the rise. And, of course, nationally, they're up 27 cents over the last year. So that's about, it's almost 15%. And so that means if you're going on a road trip, per se, you know, you're not getting on an airplane, but you're going on a pure road trip, it's going to cost you more money. Interestingly enough, gas in California, according when this survey was taken, which let's see, the story is dated yesterday. So it's, I'm guessing the survey was taken in the last week or so. AAA does this every week. California is the second highest gas prices in the country, $2.98 a gallon average. Hawaii is the highest, $3.05. So we're only 7 cents below Hawaii. And of course, it's going to be more expensive to drive in California starting in November because the gas prices are going to go up 12 cents a gallon.
There you go. And good travel in Texas.
And I know
San Antonio is always like 75 cents lower than it is here. I don't know. There are other parts of the country. But I would point out
that you will be traveling in Texas, so there is a bit of a trade-off there. let's see. I'm also helping to drive up the national average. Washington, Alaska, Oregon, and Nevada. Notice always all states on the west. I'm rarely a fan of higher taxes, but in this case, I drive on these roads a lot, and my people, my tours drive on roads not only in this state, but all over the country, but we've got to fix up the road.
Absolutely, we do.
So, I mean, driving down the freeway and dodging potholes, not to mention the fact that suspensions on people's cars are going to go out like in half the time.
Everybody knows the roads are in worse shape, especially after this winter here in Northern California, for sure.
And you know, you go to other regions of the country, I can't mention which one I was in this past week, but you go to other regions of the country and they have the same road issues. In many cases, they attribute some of that to weather, but in many cases, it's just that the roads haven't been, we're not spending as much money on infrastructure as we have. And whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think it's a bad thing. But at least here in California, it looks like that's about to get stepped up. We're going to fix some things up around here. So that's some good news.
Well, I got my fingers crossed that the money will actually go where that supposedly it's going to go.
Yeah, and that would be a good thing. Anyway, road trips are more expensive because of gasoline. If your heart is set on a road trip, think about visiting South Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Louisiana, Virginia, or Texas. All with gas below $2.15 a gallon. What do most of those states have in common? They are very close to where the oil goes out into the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes location is important. If you are a shopper for, you'd like to buy things and get miles for buying them, there are some bonuses going on right now shopping with Alaska and United. Through the first part of next week can earn you some extra bonus miles. So if you're thinking about buying something and you were going to buy it using one of the airline shopping sites, there are some bonuses with Alaska and United. I won't spend a lot of time on that. Last week, we told people the airline most likely to compensate you when they took you off, when they take you off of an airplane, they have to compensate you. Mm-hmm. But if they're just asking you, please, would you give up your seat, then the airlines that were most likely to do that and to compensate you, and we decided it was Delta.
Mm-hmm.
Now this week we have, here are the airlines most likely to bump you. In other words, they've asked for volunteers. Now they've got to take people who have paid tickets, and they're not going to let them on the airplane. And you're going to be obviously well compensated for that if that ever happens to you. We've talked about that here a few times, so I won't go into it now. The ones most likely to bump passengers, the one on the top was also Delta, interestingly enough. The people so they must overbook their flights a little bit more than other people to be on top of both of those lists. Then United, Southwest, Spirit. Interestingly enough, Delta, 10 passengers per 10,000 flyers. Then it drops down to United at 7.2 and Southwest at 5.9. All the way down at the bottom of this list, like the other list last week, was Hawaiian. Less than one person per 10,000. When it comes to, and then the involuntary bumps, where you've got to be, you know, once again, you've got to be dragged off of the airplane and
kicking and screaming.
The regional flights are the toughest ones with those, which makes sense because they're planes with smaller. But by and large, I think what this tells you is that your chances of getting forced, of not being able to fly when you have a ticket, are incredibly small. Incredibly small.
Just a quick question.
Yep.
And you know more about this than I do because you fly a lot more than most anybody.
Yeah.
Is there any relationship by those numbers in relationship to the most popular airlines to fly on? Like, is Delta like one of the most popular? Therefore, they have the most flyers?
Well, I think, we've got big three airlines in the country plus Southwest would be four. And now Alaska and Virgin are going to be together. So there'll be a fairly... It would be interesting to make that comparison based on per passenger miles, because obviously one airline has more flights than another airline, so they would naturally have more of these situations
right.
come up, if you would guess, on the average. So yes, I don't have that information, but the answer to that's a very good question, is that the best answer would be how many per passengers or per number of flights or
right.
per, in this case, it's per 10,000 passengers. So that's mm-hmm. fairly, gives you a fairly accurate look at which, but it also tells you that it's the regional passengers, regional flights that you are most likely to get bumped off of. All right, we've confused the bejesus out of people, I'm sure, here. JetBlue, we talk about them having those live flatbeds, not out of Sacramento, but out of San Francisco on cross-country runs. Interestingly enough, those were $3.99 each way for a long time. They've become so popular, JetBlue is putting them on more flights. And now if you look for the fares, you won't find those $3.99 fares anymore. You're looking at between $700 and $800 each way. So a good product, and $3.99, no more. Alaska Airlines is the only airline besides Southwest to have gates at Dallas's Love Field. Virgin America had two of them, and now Alaska's inherited them, and they said they're keeping those gates at Love Field, but they may fly to more destinations than the five that they have previously flown to from there. So, that's a great convenience when you're in Dallas, the DFW, if you're doing mm-hmm. something in Dallas, you're 45 minutes from downtown, a lot of traffic and all that stuff as opposed to flying into downtown. And that is your travel news almost for today. Online at travelguysradio.com, you'll find things we don't talk about in the news, including a list today of the six best cruise ship production shows. So if you are a cruise shipper and you like the entertainment online, you can find it there. Let's take a break quickly, come back and talk to Joe Gillis, who has some ways for you to get to the airport, a new, better way to get to the airport, Sacramento, San Jose, and San Francisco, with the Travel Guys.
It's the Travel Guys every Sunday, 3 to 4, here on KFBK. Listen during the week for Mark's travel tips, by the way, that appear on KFBK on a weekly basis. Mark.
We have got, there's a new way to get to the Sacramento airport. Also, if you're going to San Jose or San Francisco, this would work for you, too. If you want to go in a little bit of luxury, it's a little more expensive than Uber, but about the price of a taxi cab. If you could go to the airport, Tom, in a brand new Tesla, would you think that was pretty cool?
It would. I've never had an opportunity to ride in one.
Like many people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it might be kind of fun. Joining us on the line from One Way Tesla, which is the company offering this new service in Sacramento, is Joe Gillis. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Joe.
Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. So tell us about this new service of yours. We've talked. You have a couple of cars here. You're just getting started. You know, how can you have these really expensive cars and offer really competitive prices, and how is it going so far?
So far so good. Actually, to be honest with you, we should be able to offer even better rates as the cars get paid down through time, because we don't have all the overhead that a normal taxi cab or a town car would have with all the expenses of gas, oil changes, brakes. Our cost is a lot less expensive in the long run. So
how long has your service been available here in town?
We launched back in January. I drove with another company out in the Bay Area before I brought it here to Sacramento, but it seems to be really successful in other parts of the state so far. So I thought, why not get the capital of California on board with everyone else?
Let me ask you real quick, Joe. Does, of course, you know, some people like myself travel with a lot of luggage. I've never had an opportunity to take a look. Do you got plenty of luggage space there in those Teslas?
Actually, I'm glad you asked that question. One of the advantages of a Tesla is there's no engine. So you have a trunk in the front and a trunk in the back. So you actually have a little more luggage space than you'd probably get in a Tesla.
And who I just...
Look at there. Shoot, I never thought about that.
All right. So, Joe, this week... We were talking about this, and you said, well, gee, you know, sometime, Mark, if you're going to the airport, let me know, and I'll, you know, offer you a ride so you can try the service out. It just so happened that we had one of our staff members, Chris Galloway, who is joining us on the line, and Chris was headed for the airport the next morning, so we put him in the Tesla. Chris, you there?
I am.
Hey, welcome back to the Travel Guys. So tell us about how was riding to the airport in one of Joe's Teslas?
Well, I got to tell you, it's just like Tom said, there's a definite cool factor to it. You know, I had never been in a Tesla before. They're absolutely gorgeous cars. So having a chance to actually be in one was really cool. Also, on the way there, Joe was able to sort of explain how the car works. They've got this really cool monitor. I mean, it's enormous. It's the size of a small TV. And he's able to show you, you know, the routing. Technically, he routed us all the way across the United States, showing every place that we would stop to recharge our battery. It's pretty cool.
Hey, Joe, you said the business is being pretty successful so far. Can we tell folks on the radio about what it costs to get to the airport in Sacramento?
Well, our online rates are depending on where you're traveling from. In Sacramento, if you're traveling from like Midtown or downtown, it's 65 all the way up to 85 if you're like Rockland, Lincoln, or El Dorado Hills. But everybody who says they heard it on your show, I'll give an extra 20% off of the ride to try a one-way Tesla out.
It's the Travel Guys radio special. We haven't had one of those in a long time, Joe.
Okay,
thanks
so
for
you
that.
Go to travelguysradio.com and you can find the link to one-way Tesla. Chris, you said that the cool factor here was pretty high, huh?
Absolutely. And hey, Joe, I got an idea for you.
Okay. I'm open to all ideas, most definitely.
It's prom season. How cool would it be to roll up to a prom in a $134,000 Tesla? Stretch limousines are so 2000, you know?
I Joe, I believe you. I think Chris might be on to something there.
That's going
to...
outdo the limo kids.
Yeah, I think so. I do believe he's on to something.
Yeah, Joe, I have a question. I saw a special the other day on the Tesla and explained how their braking systems work and, you know, all kinds of stuff that's completely different than the way other automobiles are designed and how they operate. It's very, very unique. One of the things that has concerned me is nav screens, and I have one, and you know it's a distraction. How is a 17-inch nav screen not a distraction in your Tesla? How do you manage that?
I'm glad you asked that question. Even though the screen is a humongously large screen, you usually don't spend most of your focus time on the screen. You keep your eyes focused on the road. And I actually use, when I'm driving, I actually use the big screen only when I'm maybe at a stoplight and I'm trying to navigate my route, you know, online. But you have turn-by-turn instructions actually on the dashboard where the speedometer is.
Chris, so let me ask you, as a passenger in the car, here's this big video screen. Was that, you know, what did that feel like?
Well, I was just about to chime in and say it is surprisingly, it's big, but it's not a huge glare. It doesn't really capture your attention. As he was showing me the car and the battery charge and that sort of thing, you know, the screen is lit up. But other than that, I mean, it was the middle of the night. It was, what, 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning? Yeah. So it's dark outside. The screen actually goes dark as well. So it's not this constant glare.
So let me ask you, if you had to pay for that ride to the airport and it had cost you, you know, you live out by Sunrise and Highway 50, it had cost you $60 to go to the airport, which is probably about what a taxi costs from there, maybe a little less. Would you have considered that?
In a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking is the cool factor. And I love your idea about the proms. Joe, thank you very much for the idea. Folks, remember, if you call Joe, if you contact him at One Way Tesla for your ride to the airport, mention that you heard it on the Travel Guys, he will give you a little bit of a discount. Thanks to Chris Galloway and to Joe Gillis from One Way Tesla. Thank you, Joe, for joining us on the Travel Guys.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, not a problem. That's pretty neat. I think that's pretty neat. And Chris had a really awesome idea there about the prom thing.
It is. It's a great idea.
There is no question about that.
Well, let's see. We are the Travel Guys coming up on the news here on KFBK. Find out what the world's going on. And then on the right after that, we're going to go to Portland. Portland Rose Festival is just around the corner. We're going to be spending some time with a gal who knows just about everything there is to know about the Portland Rose Festival.
All about the roses.
Yeah, that's next on the Travel Guys.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
In your mind, Mark, where are you going?
I just got home from a place that I can't tell you where I was, so because.
But in your mind, you're still there.
I'm in my mind. Yeah. I was yes. You know those 4-hour flights from Houston and Chicago, to Sacramento are just killers. I just have to say that it's a lot easier to go across the country with a 2.5-hour flight and a 2.5-hour flight than it is to do with 4 hours and 1 hour. Because when you do the 1 hour flight and you're changing in Chicago or Houston, you still got all that way still to go. And it's
right.
Just,
yeah. I try whenever I fly, you know, to see if I can go halfway and then halfway again.
Well, and if you make you set up a tight connection, then you have an efficient route. But last night I'm getting off of a baby plane in a far reaching corner of O'Hare. And literally 7/400ths of a mile from where I got off the plane to where I got on the plane, 3/4 of a mile walk. Fortunately, my flight, I had a 46-minute layover. Flight was 10 minutes early. No issues with, you know, the jetway didn't get stuck or the door or anybody who's flown a lot can tell you that those things, ultimately, all of those things will happen to you.
Sure.
And they never happen on the days when you have 2.5-hour layover. They only happen on the days when you have to run from one to the other. I did pick up a travel tip though last night to share with people. I'm on the plane and I had taken the very first row because I'm a frequent flyer with United, so I can get that first row. But even if I wasn't, I could have gotten the second row. And that was really important for two reasons, because I had a tight connection. So we get off, those people get off the plane a few minutes earlier than the other people in the back of the 50-passenger airplane. The other thing is, when you're on those small regional jets and you have a tight connection, never, ever, ever take a bag with you that you have to gate check, because you have to wait for those bags to come off. I'm not talking when they voluntarily put the bag on the plane. You know, they're standing there and saying, we need some people to put some bags on so we don't run out of space in the overheads. That's different. I'm talking about you're getting on a plane that has very tiny overheads and your normal size carry-on won't fit.
Mm-hmm.
So they require you to put a tag on it and check it plane side. And when you get to your destination, you wait for it to come off the plane physically right there, either in the jetway or on the tarmac, and you pick it up and carry it to your next gate. Well, that takes sometimes 7 or 8 minutes after the plane lands before those bags are available for people to claim them. So just last night, as I'm watching all that, and I'm in that situation myself, and I had not done that. I had carried on and checked a bag through. But if you have, if you're connecting to a small aircraft, to or from, if you're coming from a small airplane and you have a tight connection, you never want to have a bag that you have to gate check, because then you'll have to wait for that bag to come up. And those 7 or 8 minutes could very well be the 7 or 8 minutes that keep you from making your airplane. So that's my travel tip for the day.
There you go. And
remind,
by the way,
me when we go down the hall and record that in a little while.
All righty, I will. By the way, in case you tuned in, I forgot to tell you, we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And a couple of weeks ago, Mark, you were off to Washington, D.C. as part of the Citizens Lobbyists group. Tell us about your experience
this
year.
The travel industry goes once, well, different groups in the travel industry go at different times of the year, but U.S. Travel, which is kind of our umbrella organization in Washington, D.C. for the tourism and hospitality industry, once a year hosts a thing where destinations and people who are part of the travel industry, like tour operators, like myself, are invited to Washington, D.C. We get a half day of briefing on what our issues are for the industry. Of course, different parts, you know, a tour operator might have a different issue than a hotelier.
Right.
And we might not be on the same sides of an mm-hmm. issue. Like, for example, resort fees, probably a lot of hotels don't want those go away, but a lot of tour operators and consumers do. So what we do first is hack out, you know, we don't want to be going in there and fighting each other in front of congressional members or staff. So you've got to decide, you know, what are the issues? How are you going to approach them? We split into regional pods. So you're going to see generally the senators from your state and your congressman, who Mr. Barra is my congressman, and I have a great relationship with Doris Matsui. Her husband was formerly my congressman, and she has been my congressman before some redistricting lines. And, you know, you move around town, you move into somebody else's district. So I met with both of them. How lucky are we in Sacramento? This is a total sidebar. I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
How lucky are we in Sacramento to be represented by the Matsui family? All these years, they have represented parts of our city and are in general Northern California. You never see their name in a headline. You never hear them ranting, raving on television on the evening news. You never see them standing up and spouting off about something or talking about something they've done or any. They just serve the people that they were elected to serve.
Amen.
And regularly, the fact that they do that well is borne out by the fact that in elections they have regularly gotten over 60% for I don't know how many years. But when you go to their office, they listen to you. The Matsuis have always, it's like, and Ami Barra, who is currently my congressman, came out of a Senate, out of a House committee meeting to meet me. His staff took me over to the meeting, and then he came out to talk with us in the hallway. The reason that's significant is because he knows that people who come from California have come a long way. If you came from Indiana, it's a 2-hour flight to Washington. But if you came from Sacramento, it's a long way, and not very many people come that far. So he makes an extra effort to try to meet personally with those people. And indeed, I've been there 3 times since he's been in office, and each time he has met personally with my small pod delegation. So in this case, these are both Democrats, but we went, most fascinating thing was going into the office of a Republican, a congressman from California. Oh, what's his name? It's the gentleman who has the Mojave Desert and Death Valley, and he has the largest congressional district in the country down there in the San Bernardino area. Maybe his name will come to me in a minute. Anyway, he's a Republican. And he's a big guy when it comes to tourism issues because he's got all of these wide open spaces and people come to that area to do a lot of tourism-related activities. It's very important to his district, but it was fascinating to listen to. Sometimes you just want to be a fly on the wall in Washington and listen to, here's a Republican, he's got a Republican president, and so how does he deal with, he doesn't agree with him on everything, so how does he deal with that? And then you go to a Democratic office. And in many cases, your tourism issues are not partisan. So you are talking the same way to a Republican as you would to a Democrat because you're saying, look, the bridges and the roads need repair. Don't you agree on that? Here are some ideas for how you folks can come together and work this out between you. Do you see anything here that might work for you? And then if you get a little glimmer of hope from a Democrat, then you carry that to the next Republican and you say, you know, what do you think about this idea? And if they say, well, that sounds like something I could work with, we say, well, I was just over at so-and-so's office and they agreed with that. So then you're kind of giving them people they can latch on to try to create the kind of situation in Congress that you need to get anything done. Anyway, it's fascinating.
Pete Aguilar?
Not Pete Aguilar. He's got a shorter.
Paul Cook?
Paul Cook. That's it. He's an old retired colonel, Paul Cook.
Mm-hmm.
But just sitting in his office for 15 minutes and listening to him talk about how he's a Republican, he didn't expect the president to win, and now he's having to make sure that he supports the president when it's appropriate and doesn't when it's not, and he's got a very interesting district. And so anyhow, it was just, I strongly recommend to people that at least once in your life, that you take the opportunity to go with a group. There was a bunch of Alzheimer's folks there the day that we were there, probably about 1,500 of them. They all had purple sashes on and stuff. And there's always several groups there on any given day who are walking the halls and talking with the representatives and the staffs of the representatives and trying to get to advocate for their cause. It's just amazing that we live in a country where you can do that. And to not do that ever in your life would just be a huge mistake because you will have a much greater respect for the whole system if you go there and you try to play through it a little bit.
In regards to the travel industry, Mark, what's the one or two, you know, issues that they're going to be the challenge here
well,
we want to see happen?
The big one is infrastructure, of course, because the roads and the bridges need to be repaired. The other one is open skies. Airlines, Norwegian Air is flying into many destinations now from overseas very inexpensively. They don't have union pilots. The pilots in this country are not happy about that. They don't want those people to fly more places. Some airlines in the Middle East are subsidized by their government, and they would like to be able to fly in the United States to different places. And the open skies agreement right now restricts that, and the airlines in the United States don't want that to happen because they don't want the competition. And they tie it to security issues and stuff like that. And I won't say that there aren't any security issues with airlines flying from the Middle East. But I will tell you that Norwegian Air, which isn't a Middle Eastern airline at all, is flying now into 4 or 5 different U.S. destinations. And their fares are much lower. And a lot more people are flying on them. A whole different class of people can make those vacations when you get an airfare that's $400 to go over the pond instead of $1,500. So, yes, the service is not as good and the seats are tighter and you have to pay for it, put something in the overhead and stuff. But for some people, it's a viable alternative. And so to get them out and seeing the country is important. But those are kind of the big issues. The open skies, Congresswoman Matsui has a follow-up to her cruise passenger legislation mm-hmm. that we're going to try to help her with in some ways to get it rolling a little bit. But fascinating. I have a couple other little things I need to talk about here before we go to break.
Yes. In fact, did we talk about where the heck Sports Leisure Vacations?
Where in the world is Sports Leisure Vacations? We have
it's where in the world, not where in the heck.
Yes, where in the
see,
world.
Okay. It was one of those.
We have two groups out as we speak today. A group left for Monterey this morning. They're just a little 3-day, 2-night trip down to Monterey. Scott Angeletti left with 30 travelers. And our trip to Ireland that went and stayed in all the castles. We talked about this last week. Comes home tomorrow. So where in the world is Sports Leisure Vacations? Monterey in Ireland.
There we go. And let's see, Clayton on the, or is it?
Clayton is over in Ireland.
We need to talk to him when he gets
when
back.
He comes
I know
back,
a lot of people have been asking
I
me about that
trip. I got a text
trip.
From him yesterday. I just said, how is the trip going? And he said, wonderful. I said, how are the accommodations? Because they stayed in these two manor houses and mm-hmm. castle type accommodations. And he just said, unbelievable. So I really do want to talk to him. I'm sure he's going to be putting that together again. I wanted to also mention before we go to break about new airline service. Southwest Airlines has stepped things up considerably here. Their battle with Alaska Airlines for West Coast supremacy, I think, is going to be a good one for consumers. We are going to be getting, starting in, I believe it's August, a nonstop flight to Spokane from Sacramento. This has always been a tough city for Sacramento travelers to get to. You have to go to Denver or San Francisco or Seattle. There will be a nonstop flight every afternoon to Spokane, actually, and then they're also going to increase frequencies to Seattle, to San Diego, and also they're going to start serving Long Beach, which has previously been JetBlue's domain in Southern California. But all that good news for Sacramento Flyers, more ways to get more places this summer with Southwest Airlines. We have one more guest. We're going to go up to Portland and talk about the Portland Rose Festival next.
Right here. Right here on The Travel Guys. We'll be right back. Welcome to another edition of The Travel Guys here on KFBK. Travel and entertainment is what we're about. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And our special guest today is someone we visited with before. If folks are not familiar and you think the only parade anywhere that has roses associated with it and thought it was Pasadena, well, that is not true. There's a really, really great one north of us here, and Mark takes his sports leisure vacation travelers there on a consistent basis. Mark, tell us a little bit about that and our special guest today.
You're right, Tom. Not the only big rose festival or rose parade isn't in Southern California. Many people are surprised to know that there's one in Portland. In fact, it is the city of roses, and has a spectacular rose garden that blooms, gosh, a lot of the year because of the fact that they get a little rain in Portland that helps keep everything green. Mm-hmm. But during June, they have the Portland Rose Festival, and joining us on the line is Carol Ross. Carol is an old friend. She is the head cook and bottle washer at the of the Rose Festival, huh, Carol?
That's right.
Yes. But a couple years ago, I'm with a group up in Portland, and we're watching the parade, and you can watch the parade indoors there. There's an old arena that they have seating indoors, so of course it rains occasionally in Portland, so you don't have to necessarily watch the parade in the rain. So we have our seats indoors, and the parade's going on, and 30, 45 minutes have gone by, and suddenly the parade stops. Things aren't coming into the Coliseum anymore.
Oh, my.
And further investigation found that a float had gotten stuck coming into the arena. And I believe, Carol, was there a chainsaw involved?
I'm afraid there was. You know, it's live events, anything can happen.
So we were literally there and waiting for a little while, and the parade started up again. And, of course, people who didn't know would have never known that Carol had to take a chainsaw to the float that was stuck underneath the Coliseum in order to get the parade to go on.
Great. So Carol, you got to do what you got to do, huh?
That's right.
So, Carol, for 19 years, you have been helping make the Portland Rose Festival happen. It's more than just this wonderful parade, which happens on a Saturday morning. Tell folks a little bit, our listeners, a little bit about the Portland Rose Festival.
Sure. Well, the Portland Rose Festival has been going on for 110 years, celebrating the Rose City, like you said. And we have events that start on Memorial Day weekend and last for several weeks, actually kind of through the end of June. Many of them are produced by the Rose Festival Foundation, which is where I work, and some of them are produced by other entities and are part of the Rose Festival calendar. So we have everything from a waterfront carnival to road races like half marathon and things like that, and auto races, three great parades. We just have a great variety of events, something for everyone.
Wait, three great parades?
We have three great parades. We have a nighttime parade called the Starlight Parade. That happens a week before the Grand Floral Parade on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
That parade's a little more funky, quirky, kind of keep Portland weird kind of parade. it's a lot of fun. And we also have the oldest children's parade in the nation. That's the Junior Parade. That happens on the Wednesday prior to the Grand Floral Parade, and that's an entirely kid parade, all kids.
Wow. You also have, I'm seeing here, some Fleet Week celebrations there.
That's right. We happen to be fortunate to be one of the ports of call for the U.S. Navy and the Royal Canadian Navy and the Coast Guard. And they bring ships upriver, up the Columbia River here to the Willamette and park real close by here to our festival grounds and give people the opportunity to thank our military men and women and take a quick look on the ships.
Now, as Tom alluded to, Carol, this is one of the years that we are bringing sports leisure travelers to see you in June to the parade, which I believe is on the 9th or the 10th. Is that 10th?
10th. Saturday, June 10th is the parade date, yeah.
We will be up there with a gang of our troops and then headed over to the Oregon coast, the Newport, to one of my favorite places at the Elizabeth Street Inn there for a few weeks. But for folks who are not coming with sports leisure vacations to the Rose Parade and might like to come up and take in some of the festivities, what advice would you give to somebody who has never been and is thinking of perhaps coming up for the first time for the Rose Festival?
Sure. Well, they'll want to plan probably a weekend stay, and that could be any weekend from Memorial Day weekend through the Grand Floor Parade weekend, like we're saying, that weekend of June 10th. Because we have something big going on every weekend in late May and early June. And planning at least a Friday night stay so you can get all of the festivities of a Saturday is probably the best idea. And you can find all kinds of stuff on our website, including suggestions about places to stay in Portland at rosefestival.org.
Of course, you have the Saturday market in Portland.
And we have an amazing foodie scene, lots of food carts and restaurants, a lot of great Pinot Noir here in Oregon.
Famous
wine.
Famous for donuts. And I will just tell you that sports leisure travelers have declared Blue Star Donuts to be the best donuts in the Pacific Northwest. On an informal tasting with Seattle and Portland donuts, we decided that Blue Star Donuts were the best.
Wonderful.
Quick question for us novice goers. Do you need to make reservations to find a spot to watch the parade? What do you recommend for those that are going for the first time in regards to best seats for the parade?
Sure. Well, Mark mentioned that we have a very unique situation where we have a building that the entire Grand Floral Parade passes through. And we believe we are the only parade that goes through a building. The nice thing about that is folks can buy tickets to reserve seats inside Veterans Memorial Coliseum to watch the parade go through. It's arena like used to have basketball games in it. They now play a lot of hockey games in there. So you'll get those kind of amenities. You'll have restrooms available. They have a brand new big screen in the center, so we'll get to see videos and extra information about the behind the scenes of the parade.
Wow.
And announcers, live announcers, who call
that you can hear. You probably could actually hear them.
Yeah, Tom, it's a really civilized way to watch a parade. I mean, it really is.
Very different. Do you have to buy a ticket and make a reservation to sit in the building, or is it just first come, first serve?
And the seats are all reserved, so the tickets are on sale. Now people can go to our website, or if they want the full package experience, they can give Sports Leisure Vacations a call and get the full package deal.
That was a nice plug. We will put a link to the Portland Rose Festival on TravelGuysRadio.com. So if you are listening and you would like to find out about the events, it basically starts on Memorial Day weekend. There's fireworks and all kinds of stuff. But I will tell folks, Tom, that the Rose Parade in Portland is different from the Rose Parade in Pasadena. It has a more of a local flavor. The parade in Pasadena is a huge thing, and this is not an attempt, I don't think, to compete with Pasadena. But after all, this is a city of roses, so they don't have to bring the roses in. They kind of grow there pretty normally. And you'll want to make sure you allow time to see the International Rose Garden in downtown Portland when you are there, because you will see some of the most amazing hybrid roses that you have ever seen in your entire life. It really is quite beautiful. Carol, thank you so much for your time. TravelGuysRadio.com to find out more about the Portland Rose Festival. And if you head up there, perhaps we will see you in early June.